Welcome to the D
and A of Home Interiors. The DNA of Home Interiors is all about empowering you to make confident home interior and furniture decisions. I'm Audrey, founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design. I've worked as an interior designer for almost 20 years, running my own business for 10 years of this. Recently, I have refocused my business to help people who are undertaking their own refurbishment or redecoration project. I do this through individual consultations in people's homes and also through running interior design workshops around London.
I'm Deirdre, the co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, an online search and comparison website which enables people to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire market on one website. Cooldea is the home for furniture discovery. Check it out to search over 80 retailers simply today. Audrey and I decided to set up the podcast after seeing the overwhelming feeling that many people encounter when undertaking their own project. The sheer amount of choice available often leads to decision paralysis. We're here to help you make confident decisions.
So Audrey, I don't know if you ever come across this, but the moment that you become aware of some new trend or you're about to do something, all of a sudden you notice it throughout your life, be it in newspapers. And I had that today because today we're talking about kitchen design. And when I was in the lift in the office coming over to see you, there was two gentlemen in there and one said to the other, "What are you doing for the weekend?" And the other guy responded that, I'm going to some kitchen design shop that the wife has booked me into. Mm-hmm. And it just made me laugh, given that that's our topic of conversation today. But I've never bought a kitchen because typically a kitchen is already fitted in your home. And it got me thinking about how do you design a kitchen and where do you start? Because unlike furniture, we know there's all these furniture shops out there. It's not as clear cut with the kitchen, is it?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. In fact, for many people, buying a kitchen is a huge area of confusion. So I'd say, you know, obviously to begin with, making all the decisions about the look and feel of the kitchen, how it functions, the layout, but not just that, then also how to purchase that kitchen. So whether you do go like the guy in the lift, you know, through a kind of a process with the company who will sit you down and plan that kitchen, or whether you're going to operate via your builder and design the layout yourself. And so there's, a number of ways you can go about that.
And then going back to where should you start? I can remember from my home economics class way back in the day, there was this golden triangle rule that you had to keep the oven, the sink and the fridge within a proper working distance to be efficient in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Is that still a rule today?
Yes, that is very much a thing. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the working triangle, as I like to call it, in the kitchen. So it's typically your hob, your sink and your fridge. And if possible in your kitchen to have these in a triangle, that's ideal. Obviously, not all kitchens can accommodate this. It might be that you've got just a kitchen along one wall. But if you've, say, got a kitchen on two sides or an island or a breakfast bar, ideally then you'd position maybe two of these three on one side and one on the other side. And the reason behind that working triangle is really for you to think about in your space. If you're carrying, for example, a hot pot off the hob and you want to drain it in the sink, you shouldn't have to walk an excessive distance kind of between those two things. So it's quite good in your own space even to just kind of mimic those movements and see, you know, how efficient you can get with that triangle. And once you've established where those three key points are going to be in your kitchen, then you can build out from there in terms of working out the layout and look at where you're going to place storage and other appliances, you know, such as dishwashers, washing machines, and indeed your oven, if your oven isn't going to be under the hob. So I'd say that's very much, an important starting point for layout.
So is it going back to health and safety all those years ago. I thought that was only a recent phenomenon that you can't carry your pot of boiling water too far from the sink.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's quite practical.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be thinking of it necessarily from a health and safety point of view to begin with, although with young kids under your feet, definitely, it's wise to think of that too. But I would say predominantly it originates from the idea of being efficient in the kitchen. So, you know, rather than kind of wasting time and energy kind of walking distances between these areas, then, you know, if they're closer together, then that, you know, that's quite ideal.
And then what are the final rules around, because I know you shouldn't have the fridge next to the hob, because I suppose you've got two different heat elements. So ideally you want to leave space. So which elements do you want to keep apart, or that you can't have them next to each other?
Yeah, well, yeah, for a long time people felt that, yeah, the fridge and the oven weren't ideal together. But, you know, things have moved on a little bit there, and certain appliances now are okay to put together. But it's always good to check, you know, the manufacturer's recommendations if you are going to do that. So this is something you will see more now, especially with an oven being built in at eye level and a few tall appliances side by side and tall units. So you might have your oven at eye level and then a tall fridge freezer and perhaps a pull out larder as well. But I mean, otherwise the key considerations with the placement of appliances, I'd say, are obviously if you've got a dishwasher, for that to be near your sink, perhaps under the drainer side of your sink can be quite efficient, so that you can obviously stand in front of your sink and then use it beside. And then just going back to that triangle, really, and sort of you going into your space and, like I said earlier, mimicking kind of how you would use it. And then just thinking, for example, if there was going to be a washing machine in there, that might be something which you don't actually want in that key immediate triangular area, because it's not something that you would typically be using in conjunction with anything else. So you may put that further away. That's obviously if plumbing permits, you know, that to be the case. And then I think what you'd be thinking about ideally in terms of that immediate triangular working triangle area is what storage then you would need in between and around those appliances to really help maximize the efficiency of using your kitchen. So I think, you know, you can consider drawers, for example, so that you've got your cooking utensils near to your hob, and maybe some pull-out pan drawers as well, so you've got your pots and pans.
It all makes perfect sense. It's quite funny. I can't actually. I've been trying to think of all the houses, you know, my aunts and my parents and friends' houses. And the dishwasher is always next to the sink. And the drawer with all your cutlery and your utensils is always next to the cooker.
Yeah.
And I've just never connected it. But it is so that it's there and practical for use.
Yes.
So it makes sense now that you've pointed it out. But I always took that for granted.
Yeah.
And it's interesting as well that you mention about storage and the kitchen. How do you think about that? Because, you know, some people have presses up high as well as presses down low. Some people have kitchen islands.
Yeah.
Is there a certain rule that people need to think about given their space? If it should be U-shaped, if it should be L-shaped? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where does an island work? How does that structure look like?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of whether or not you can have an island in, it's usually determined by how big your room is. So a lot of people hope to get an island in, but the reality is, you know, you need quite a big room in order to have the circulation space around that island on both sides. Islands tend to be deeper than your normal worktop depth. And this is if you want to have stools maybe that tuck underneath. So a normal worktop depth would be 60 centimetres on average, and a normal island depth would usually be 90 centimetres, so 1.5 times as wide. So you do need quite a bit of space. Also, we'd always recommend at least a metre between your normal worktop and your island. So if you factor all that in, you know, you've got to have a pretty wide room. Breakfast bars then can sometimes be a bit easier. So that would be when you said maybe a U shape, where you might have a kitchen running along two walls, but then you turn it into the room with an extra return. You might be able to pop one or two stools on there, but the fact that you don't need the circulation space to completely go around that bar like you would with a separate island, it can often work in a smaller space but still give you a lot of the benefits that you get from the island, especially that, you know, idea of having some bar stools around it. But then what you mentioned just before the island and the U-shape was about the storage considerations, what sort of storage you would put in your kitchen, maybe with the options of kind of wall cabinets and what you put on the bottom level as well, the base units, as we'd call them. And, you know, what I'd say to that is, I mean, if for anybody listening, you know, if you've been around showrooms recently, kitchen showrooms, you've probably noticed that there's a real kind of change in terms of what's happening on the walls and kitchens. And in magazines as well, we're starting to see that open shelving is a really big thing. So whereas before, you know, the kitchen would tend to have a lot of wall units and everything kind of behind those closed doors, now we're seeing this exposed shelving, which for some people, you know, causes them a bit of anxiety because they think, oh, it looks great, but actually, am I realistically going to be able to display all my items as beautifully as I see them in these showrooms and in these images? But I think what's important to realise is that that's not the only change that's happened in kitchen design recently. So in conjunction with the wall units kind of like losing their place a bit, we've seen a huge increase in the use of pan drawers, like large deep drawers on the base level. So these are no longer just being used for pans, which they were sort of originally invented for, I suppose. And now if you pull these out in kitchen showrooms, you'll see that there's dividers inside in a lot of cases, and you'll have your crockery in there. You'll also have a lot of food stuff in there, you know, maybe putting them in plastic boxes and containers, whether it's cereals or baking ingredients and so on. And these are a lot of the things, the crockery and the food stuff that would have been stored in those wall units. You know, a while back. So I think if you start to look at the kitchen in a different way like that, and if you feel that you've actually got enough storage on the base level with the drawers, then it maybe frees up the idea that, you know, you could have some shelves and keep them for items that you really do want to display, but not having to go so heavy, you know, on that.
Yeah, I must say I've seen a lot of the shelving recently, and, you know, especially with copper being such a big trend, you can see the copper pots hanging down. Yeah. And I think it looks beautiful. One concern I always had, though, is the amount of dust that will collect.
Yes.
In terms of if their functional usage, or is it just going to collect dust? I suppose the issue I always had with the wall cabinets is that you need to be really tall to get them, or else they're not really functional. I actually have a little step that I need to use
to get at the
items that I need. And because my kitchen is quite small, I don't have the luxury of just putting things up on top and not using them, you know, the items that you use less often.
Yes.
And then another thing in my kitchen that I really wanted to get your opinion on is you typically have, if you've got a corner unit, this sort of lost space in that corner unit. And I have two, and you're trying to reach into the back. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's some solutions where you open it and the shelf sort of swivels out so that you've got full exposure to it.
Yeah.
But both of mine at the moment, they feel like dead space. Mm. And in a small kitchen, you know, I could really do it using that space.
Yeah.
Is there any solution that's properly come up for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the actual corner units, the carousels are probably the best way to go about it so that you can actually access things more easily. But certainly when I'm planning a kitchen, I'm starting from scratch in a room and we're looking at whether we can have a breakfast bar or an island or different ways of doing things, I would like most certainly be factoring in these corners, because in some cases it may make sense to have an island and a separate kitchen run along the back wall and do away with corners altogether. And that can be a way to really maximise your space if you're able to put the island in the space. So I would say that those corner units are never the most sort of 100% ideal kind of situation to have. But if a corner in your kitchen is providing you with the other things that you want and is overall the best use of space, then I think, you know, it's you know, probably the thing to do. In terms of maybe having a breakfast bar, which you touched on earlier, if the reverse of your breakfast bar is accessible and you've got some space around it, you can actually put an appliance, so a washing machine is really ideal in this case, in that end spot, let's say. So instead of having a corner unit that you access from the main part of your kitchen, you go around the other side of your breakfast bar, and next to your wall you've actually got a door that you open. So you might normally have a stool parked in front of there, you pull the stool back, open the door, and you've got a washing machine there. Or I've done it recently recently in a small apartment where we actually put a wine cooler in there. Mm. So it took up the space of that corner unit, but it gave the owners a much more kind of useful way of using that. Obviously, you need to make sure that you've got enough storage elsewhere in your kitchen to do away with that, but it could be quite a good idea.
That's a great solution. I think a wine fridge, yeah. I'll know I've made it if I ever have one of those in my kitchen. I always think they look really glamorous. I don't actually know anybody who has one of those either. So to dream for.
Yes, yeah.
So after we've got the design of the kitchen pretty much laid out on what's going to work with the space, what do you do in terms of thinking about the cabinets? You can have wooden, it can be country style, it can be modern, it can be sleek.
Yes,
cabinets when I moved in, they're sort of a white gloss. Mm. And what I've realised is that it's amazing to be able to give them a wipe clean when things get spilt on them. And I don't know if I would have the same functionality with that if it was wood, for example. Yeah. So what are the different types out there, and is one more suited to a different style of kitchen than the other? How do people make up their mind?
Yeah, well, how do people make up their mind? That's really burning question, I think, out there. So, you know, because kitchens, when you think of the room as a whole, there's actually so many decisions that need to be made. So when somebody says to me, oh, what style of kitchen should I go for? You know, is it a paint finish, a glass, of wood, or is it shaker or something more contemporary? I would say, well, let's even take one step further back from there and let's just write down all the things that we need to make decisions on in that room. So we've got those cabinets, but we've also got your worktop. Are we going to have a splashback? Is it glass? Is it tiles? What's that going to be? And we've got, you know, are we putting down new flooring? Are we putting, you know, paint or wall covering on the walls? And are we having freestanding furniture in there that's going to influence our decisions on anything else? So, you know, I like to pull all of these together and start looking at, you know, what are our mix of materials going to be, our mix of colours going to be, and then see, well, you know, maybe you really want the functionality, as you say, of sort of a glass kitchen that's really easy to wipe down and keep clean, but you're concerned that that's going to feel a bit clinical maybe in the room. So then we'd say, well, how about, you know, we have a wood floor, or maybe like a wood effect floor if we don't want sort of a real wood floor in the kitchen, or are we going to have a wooden dining table? So we'd be looking at that mix of materials to make sure that we're happy with the look and feel of the overall room. So then if we've identified then that we're going to have, you know, a gloss kitchen door and it's going to be a pale colour, white, say, then we can start to look at the different styles within that. So is it just completely flat? Are we going to have a bevel in it? Is it going to be handleless? Are we going to have handles? In which case, what sort of colour and finish are they going to be? So I feel like, you know, making your overall decisions for every type of surface and item that you need in the room is the way to start, and then breaking down each one of those elements into the decisions that kind of sit, you know, within that particular product.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and particularly having been on your workshop, which was mind-blowing in terms of actually bringing all the decisions, because I think we make a lot of them one decision and then the next one and we don't sort of see the interplay. It makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned a shaker.
Yes,
I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, So shaker. So there's a lot of shaker kitchens available at the moment. And what that means is it's a style of door which has like a recessed panel in the middle. So you've got like a frame to the door and then a panel. So it would typically be all in the same colour, often painted actually, and sometimes in a wood finish. So it's quite a nice sort of halfway house between being contemporary and traditional. It kind of blends the two together.
So it's not a flat door. It's
no,
sort
it's
of
not
3D.
Flat.
I know the
yes,
one you're
yeah,
talking
a bit three dimensional. But
term.
No sort of mouldings. It's not sort of like a Victorian style of like bevels or anything. It's very simple. And so if you just Google shaker kitchen, or in any of the big sort of brand, you know, kitchen showrooms and that, they will pretty much all have shaker kitchens at the moment as an option.
So I suppose my last question, given everything that I learned, if I had to put in a kitchen tomorrow, is where do I go? How do I do that?
Yeah, this is a question I get asked so much, particularly by people who've kind of engaged a little bit with the process and kind of discovered that obviously we all know there's shops and showrooms out there where they say they will supply and fit your kitchen. But then there's also other routes you can go down, such as, you know, if you were looking for a budget kitchen, let's say, and you were thinking about IKEA, it's more likely that you would purchase that kitchen and organise the fitting of it yourself. Similarly, there's a brand called Howdens, and that's a kitchen that can be purchased through your builder. So I would say it's really good to be able to establish at least a little bit about what you're looking for in terms of style and in terms of layout, as we discussed. And then I think to be able to have a builder perhaps quote for the installation of a kitchen is a great idea, a great way to give you a feel for your costs involved. And then, you know, you can actually purchase a kitchen direct from a supplier and have your builder fit that. Alternatively, you're perhaps going down the route of having a company, like I said, sort of supply and fit it. One of the concerns I've often heard from people is just that then, you know, you're not actually choosing the person who's installing that kitchen. So it may be that the company retailing the kitchen outsourced that service. So I think for a lot of people, they've had good results when they've been actually able to select who is fitting that kitchen for them, particularly if the project involves, you know, updates to your electrics and plumbing and you're not keeping that same layout. So that's quite important to consider.
How often do people tend to change their kitchen, if at all? Because I suppose it's one of the bathroom and the kitchen are the two areas, if you were selling your house, that I think you can make most impact. Because with most other rooms, you're buying a pretty blank canvas as
They're both
expensive areas to refit. So you've mentioned, you know, purchasing it through your builder. But if I was replacing my kitchen tomorrow, I'm not doing a big building job. I'm just replacing the kitchen. So when do people even consider replacing their kitchen?
Yeah, I mean, I think for some people, it's, you know, when it's literally worn out and they need that update. And then for others, it's because, you know, they've bought the house and they don't like the style of it and they want to update it for that reason. And that can be an easier example of going through a supply and fit retailer, because you may be just keeping the same layout, but you would like to update it more for aesthetic reasons.
Yeah, makes sense. Amazing. Well, lots of lessons learned today in terms of kitchens.
Yeah, it was great. Great chatting to you about it. And just to say, if anybody out there has got a kitchen project that they would like inspiration and advice on, I have got a couple of kitchen design workshops coming up in the near future. So check out my website for that.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please like and share with your friends and family who are working on their own home interiors project. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram, Facebook and YouTube channels at the DNA of Home Interiors.
If you are looking for inspiration and help in designing your home project, check out Audrey Whelan's Masterclasses and sign up for one today. And Audrey, what's that address again?
It's audreywhelan.com/events.
And it also makes a great gift. And don't forget to check out cooldia.com to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time.